Welcome back to another episode of All Talk No Balk. As always, I'm Heather.
I'm Charles.
And I'm Reese.
And it's episode 9, and we're taking sort of a serious turn with this episode, but we think it needs to be done, and what we're going to say needs to be said. And a lot has happened in the past week. It's been hard on, I would say, every community, but particularly the Black community. And it's been hard for us here at the Bullpen to process it. So we're going to do our best, here on this podcast to say what we feel and to sort of shine a light on what athletes are doing to bring attention to the much needed issues of race and racial justice and racial equality, that we're seeing right now throughout this country. So, we're going to do our best. And with that, let's get into it. So there's been, many coaches, many players, many staffers speak out on the issues at hand. And who wants to get into that a little bit?
So I'll go into it if you want. Yeah. It all started with the Milwaukee Bucks in protest. Actually, it started with the Detroit Lions. They did it the day before the Bucks, but it kind of went under the radar. They refused to practice in response to the shootings, the police shootings in Kenosha, against Jacob Blake. They so it was in protest against that, and the shootings that happened in the protest in response to the initial incident that followed. So the Lions refused to protest, the Bucks refused to play their game, which started a domino effect and led the rest of the NBA to postpone their games, and it bled into other sports, including baseball. So, which is why we're talking about it, because there was baseball not played consistently throughout this week. Three games were postponed that same day as the NBA, and then all the teams that couldn't or didn't get the chance to that very day, they did it the next day. So it was all in response to that.
Yes, right. So it happened in Milwaukee or near Milwaukee, and so Milwaukee, you know, the teams in Milwaukee were the first to sort of respond, and then it sort of trickled from there.
It's so inspiring to see that these athletes are willing to take a stand for what they believe in and really put their jobs at risk in the process. You know, that's how much they care about these issues. And it really seemed like a different vibe and a different atmosphere after the George Floyd death. Everyone was coming together and having shared dialogue. But now, with the death of Jacob Blake, it just seems like everyone's on the same page and they're infuriated. It's rage now. It's not like, let's have a conversation. It's, you know, let's reform and let's make change. And that's what these athletes are trying to promote and do with their stance in this issue. And the Lakers and the Clippers were willing to postpone the entire playoffs just for this. And we saw the Dodgers and the Reds game and the Mariners game get postponed. So that was really great to see. And I'm glad that the MLB and now the NHL is postponing some games in the playoffs throughout this week. So that was awesome. And I think from our side, the public side, our job right now is to keep talking about what's going on and to promote forward moving dialogue, you know, because we need to be on the same side in these issues. So that way we are a united front together as well. Not just these athletes, we need to show our voice and use our platforms to really promote change. And we need to keep saying their names, you know, Trayvon Martin, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, Jacob Blake now. And we need to keep remembering these guys and really keep them in our minds so that way this never happens again. Nobody should be scared going outside. And I'm just interested to see what your take is on it, Reese. What do you got?
Yeah, no, definitely. I agree with all of that. I think it's amazing that these athletes are using their platform. You know, they can reach the masses in ways that, you know, you and I might not be able to. Mm-hmm. And so when you have these athletes with all of these followers, all of these fans, and they're seeing them, you know, going through this protest and refusing to play, that's amazing. And that sparks dialogue. You know, you have kids watching these games, you have adolescents watching these games, maybe they'll ask their parents, hey, why isn't my team playing today? And then that's going to spark a necessary conversation amongst the youth. That's huge. And also, you know, the fact that we have sports right now is a luxury, okay? Just straight up. And taking that away, I think that that is so huge in order to, like, I hate that it had to come to this for a conversation like this to be had, because this conversation should have been had a long time ago and it shouldn't need any prompting. But the fact that it took major league sports teams kind of saying, no, like, we're going to sit this out in solidarity with our Black brothers and sisters. Like, first of all, I'm so proud of every single team that took part in that. Yeah. Second of all, it was extremely necessary. And I am 100% for it. And, you know, it's issues like this transcend sports, and the fact that we can use something that's, you know, normally for our entertainment, for our leisure, to kind of create that conversation is just amazing. And it's something that I've been so grateful to see, that these, you know, major, these major public figures, again, using their platform for the greater good to push for social change and for the justice that so desperately needs to happen.
Yeah, that's a great point, Reese. And forgive me, I failed to mention that we have Andrew and Tori back on from last week. So we're happy to have them really fast. But yeah, I was also, I wanted to bring up as well, it's not all rosy in terms of, you know, people coming together in the name of justice. We're seeing certain trolls on social media really get off on making these athletes feel bad for taking a stand. And I just think that them getting angrier at people not playing a game than a Black man being shot 7 times in the back, that's really telling. And change is slow, I understand that, and the arc of progress bends wide. But you know, it's still hard to see that we're still in a place where we don't care, and to some people, Black lives don't matter as much.
A wake up call for sure for a lot of these people that are looking at this. And how do you not see that if sports are canceled, that this is a big issue? You know, sports are such a big public platform, and yeah, they're a luxury as well, but it's something that's always around, it seems like. And if there is change at that big of a level, then people need to wake up. And I agree, Reese, with having more dialogue based on, you know, if these guys are going to be wearing how many more and all these different jerseys on the back of their, on the NBA, then I think the MLB should be allowed to do that too. I think that encourages the next generation to talk about it. They're going to be like, how many more what? And, you know, what does that mean? And why is he wearing this? And I think that should be allowed in all sports, because it continues the dialogue. And I think that, you know, this luxury is something that we have to really not take for granted, and something that is going to be a point for change and reform. And I think that that's going to be great. Tori, what do you got on the subject?
Yeah, just a lot of different thoughts just going around in my head right now. But I definitely agree that it's been very disheartening time. And also just looking into kind of what Heather was saying, it's been interesting seeing the response of a lot of MLB fans. I think in other sports, this might be more common of an issue to arise, but we don't really see this in protests and standing up in this unity within the MLB community as often. So I think it's definitely been very important for fans to just really take a step back from sports and just really look at the issues and everything that is going on during these times. And I think the players too, more than just also having their decision to postpone some of the games and stuff, it's been good to see that they're also taking some action as far as the Players Alliance. A lot of them are donating their salaries on Thursday and Friday of this week. And two, that it fell on Jackie Robinson Day. Jackie Robinson Day was just this Friday. So also getting to honor him and really remember that although they're athletes, they're people first. And being able to come together in unity for that and for this cause and just keep fighting for it and just being able to spread that there will be hope in the future and just to take that time now to address what's going on.
And as you can see, we're standing in solidarity as well at the bullpen. We're all wearing black to show our voices and show that we're on the same side as all these athletes as well. And Tori, you made a great point. These are people first, you know, and we have to treat them like people and not just objects or money-making athletes that are just going to go out and play. Like, that's not how anyone should be treated. So I think that these people are wrong for saying that they should just shut up and play. And it's honestly, it's the worst attitude to have. It's horrible. I think it's totally wrong. I think, Andrew, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to add on to Tori's point about how good it is to see MLB kind of like finally take a stand. And the thing is, it's not MLB, it's the players. The players are leading these movements across every league. Mm-hmm. When it started in the NBA officials and the owners had no idea this was going to happen. It was all directed by the players, and same thing when it trickled down to the MLB. MLB has a history of kind of turning a blind eye to these kind of issues, like social issues and all that. MLB just kind of like does the bare minimum and kind of lets it go and like, hey, we acknowledge this and that's kind of enough for us. It's good to see the players kind of take it into their own hands and be like, no, this isn't enough. We need to take a stand. And the only way we can get our message across is if your sport is not being played that day. Because sports have always been a kind of reflection of society, like especially baseball in relation to America. It is America's pastime. So, of course, it's going to reflect American society. So to see that this conversation needs to be had in baseball shows that it desperately needs to be had in America in general. To kind of go back on the NBA has been kind of setting the pace for the country since March and since the pandemic kind of started. Nothing really happened across the country as far as shutdowns until the NBA announced that they were stopping their season after Rudy Gobert contracted COVID. So then once the NBA shut down, all the other sports shut down, theme parks shut down, the country shut down. And then the NBA led the way in funding for testing and funding and kind of new testing technology. And then their bubble kind of system, they're leading the way. And then to keep on that trend, they started this. These protests so that the conversation can be had. So the NBA is really setting the pace, and I'm glad other sports like the MLB are kind of following that lead.
Yeah, no, definitely. And not only the NBA, but also the WNBA, which is something not a lot of people are talking about. But
yeah, of course.
You had the Washington Mystics come out with their shirts that spelled out Jacob Blake with seven holes in the shirts to represent the seven bullets that went into Jacob Blake's back. And that is so inspiring to see and so amazing. And just seeing these athletes come out in solidarity has honestly, like, this has been such an emotional past couple of days, just seeing all of this and seeing how the country has really come together. And I saw this post, I want to say it was on like CNN, and it was like the top photos in sports for the past couple days. And it was all pertaining to the Black Lives Matter movement and everything that had happened with Jacob Blake. And it literally brought me to tears, you guys. Like, it was amazing to see. And like, Andrew, you made a really great point that like, the MLB, like, baseball is America's pastime, and the fact that they're actually like doing something about this, I think speaks volumes, because as you guys mentioned, like, they usually don't. And I mean, Jack Flaherty like actually put out a tweet that was like, we're the only sport playing today, let that sink in all caps, and he immediately took it down. But like, I mean, he had a good point, like, only what was it, like, six teams on Wednesday had decided to not play, and then an additional seven on Thursday kind of followed suit. And so it was a little bit of a slow start. But to see, and again, like, it wasn't the MLB, it was the players. Like, they deserve all of the credit here. Absolutely amazing. But like, the fact that it's finally kind of cracking that the shell that the MLB has kind of put over itself in terms of like deflecting social issues, like, this is amazing. And this is huge. And I like seeing this progress continue to grow.
Yeah, I just want to add on to both your point, Reese, and then also Andrew's. MLB has often hung its hat on Jackie Robinson, and Jackie Robinson Day was yesterday, and of course, that's momentous, and that should be celebrated every year. However, Jackie was called up by the Brooklyn Dodgers in 1947, which by my count is over 70 years ago, and change needs to move quicker, and I think now we're realizing in this country that what we thought was progress maybe wasn't as progressive as we would have liked or hoped or thought. And I think the next few months, especially, and obviously there's a huge election this year. We hope you all go on and vote and register to vote. But obviously there's a huge election this year, and it'll be interesting to see what MLB does to encourage people to use their voices for change, encourage people, whether it's their players or fans or whatever, to vote, to get involved in their communities. The next few months, certainly leading up to November, but then beyond, of course, we'll be telling. And I pray and I hope that MLB lands on the right side of this, because in issues in the past, the NBA, WNBA has kind of been ahead of them and they've sort of lagged behind. So certainly this will be an interesting couple of months and years. Yeah.
I just say, I love Adam Silver. That guy has everything right. And Manfred needs to take some notes out of his playbook, because I think that Silver is doing it all right now. And to be honest, you know, Doc Rivers said it best the other night when the Clippers routed the Mavs. He said, you know, black kids are scared to go outside, and black parents are afraid of what will happen to them. And they've given so much love to this country. They haven't gotten much, if any, back. And, you know, a kid should not have to be afraid of the police or to go outside. It's just unlawful. And I think it's wrong. And I think that, you know, Adam Silver is doing a great job to promote that change and allowing his players to kind of have their own voice. And Chris Paul, he's been getting on guys too, you know, on his team. I think only 5% were registered to vote, and he just got in their face. He was so upset. That might have been on the Clippers too. I just know that the registry in the NBA is super low right now, and that needs to change as well. So I'm hoping that all of these organizations, especially at the NBA and all these other, you know, major sports, begin to reform and promote that.
Certainly. I think we've sort of said our piece, and we'll go down the line, and if you have any closing thoughts, we'll start with you, Tori.
Yeah, just I agree with everything that's been said here, and I just hope and pray that things start to get better, and that we see some heart changes, and I'm definitely want this progression.
What do you got, Andrew?
I obviously I agree with everything we've said here. This is the base of our platform. This is what the minimum we can do, but it's about like moving on from here. And to add on to like Reese's point earlier about like Jack Flaherty, he had a tweet the day before too, actually, where I'm sure it was him, it may be mistaken, but where it was only 3 games that got postponed that the day of the initial protest in the NBA. And he mentioned something like, how hard is it to do something in unity? Like, do you see how streaky across the sport is that like there are games being played and the games not being played amongst these issues? And so, and I think that message really sank in like the next day, because the first day of protest, like for the Rockies, Matt Kemp sat out, but the rest of the Rockies played, and Dexter Fowler and black players across the league sat down while their teams played. And there was no justification in having those teams play while you're not backing your teammate, your brother, your just fellow human in general. So something that I think the Dodgers did very well that day, they looked at Mookie Betts for leadership. He was essentially concrete on not playing. And so from then the conversation started with the Dodgers. We're like, all right, what do we do to support? And it eventually led to them not playing because they were going to back him. So he was the one to lead the way. And I'm glad eventually other teams followed suit, but again, it needs to move quicker.
Yeah, that's well said, both of you. You, Reese.
No, I definitely agree. I think that we're off to a good start, but I think that it absolutely should be moving quicker. I mean, I understand change isn't exactly a fast process, but it also doesn't need to be moving at a snail's pace as well. You know, this is a humanitarian issue. Just at the end of the day, we are all humans and nobody should be living in fear. You know, nobody should have to walk outside and be afraid for their lives. And at the end of the day, like I said, like I'm happy with the progress that's being made, but we still have a long ways to go. Yeah. And I think that if we can continue to unite and just be a united front and fight the good fight and just, you know, all come together, I think that we have a lot of progress in our future, and I'm really hoping that significant change will be made. And I'm really proud of the athletes and the teams that have stepped up to the plate as of late to, you know, advocate for that. So let's keep it going.
Couldn't have said it better, Reese. Totally agree. And look, if you saw what happened this week, MLB games postponed, NBA playoffs almost canceled, NHL playoff games postponed. If you don't see that, and, you know, if you watch that video, I think there's only one side to be on. So yeah. I think everyone needs to get on that side, and we really need to, like Reese said, start promoting change and moving forward now.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the bullpen has only been around for 6 or 7 or 8 months, and we want to be on the right side of history from the jump. And we will do everything in our power as a group, as a team, and individually to make this issue prominent and not just a fading fad or a trend. We want systemic change. We want to see athletes, people walking down the street. We want to see people live in peace. And we want to see our brothers and sisters of all colors feel like they're welcome in this country, feel like they're not second-class citizens, and feel like they have a voice. So we'll do anything in our power moving forward to make that message crystal clear. So this was a more serious start, obviously, and a more serious topic, but we just thought it all needed to be said. And with that, we'll be right back. We're going to take a break, but we'll be back with a more lighthearted Your Take, Our Take.
The Bullpen is proud to announce their partnership with Baseball Monkey. That's right. The industry leader in baseball equipment and team sales is joining forces with the Bullpen. For all your equipment, team uniforms, and training wear needs, contact mail2@teamsales.monkeysports.com. That's mailto:teamsales@monkeysports.com. You can also contact Thomas at 866-673-6425. Make sure to stop by their website as well at http://baseballmonkey.com. Use our promo code BULLPEN15 to get 15% off all eligible products at Baseball Monkey. That's capital BULLPEN15. The expiration date is September 5th, 2020, so make sure to get your product soon.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to All Talk, No Balk. It's time for our favorite segment, Your Take, Our Take. We got a very special topic today. What are the best jerseys of all time, and what jerseys would you say are rocking right now in 2020? So we're going Tori first. Who's your team? Who's your jersey? What do you got for us?
Pick your favorite retro one first and then your favorite classic one. Let's do it like that.
Sounds good.
Okay, my favorite probably of all time, I might just be biased because I'm a Yankees fan, but I'm sorry, the classic pinstripes. And you really can't debate. It just looks better. Pinstripes look better on Yankees players. We got Joe DiMaggio, Derek Jeter, Aaron Judge, even though he's on the IL right now. But
DiMaggio has been dead for like 70 years. Keep going.
Kyle never dies, first of all.
You're right. Keep going, Tori. Sorry.
No, all good. But yeah, I just have to say the Yankees. It's just been a consistent since like forever, 1936, I think. They had an original uniform. The logo was on the other side and they switched it or whatever. The consistency, it just looks crisp, fresh, classic. And then my favorite ones today, I really like kind of like the unique type of colors. So I'm definitely not an Oakland A's fan at all, but I really like their Kelly Green jersey. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's weird, but it's like alternate. It's a Kelly Green, and then they have, I think, gold trim, white writing. And I don't know. It just looks really fresh.
Interesting.
That's my take.
Yeah. Yeah, the Kelly Green is like, it's a color scheme nobody in the MLB has, so it definitely stands out. It's so good.
Is it Kelly or more of a forest?
They call it Kelly Green.
I would say Kelly. Yeah. Forest, I feel like, is a little darker, richer, maybe.
Right. I guess maybe their normal uniforms are a Forest versus the alternate jersey, which is a Kelly. Okay, I'm glad we clarified that here on the podcast for all the fans. Andrew, go ahead. What are yours?
First, to start a debate, but like the pinstripes, I had the revelation earlier. Like the Yankees are known for the pinstripes. There are a lot of teams that like have pinstripes in their uniforms.
Yes,
like, Rockies. The Cubs, the Phillies, the Rockies, the Mets, the Padres now. Like there's a handful of pinstripes. Ouch. Pinstripes look good, but the Yankees definitely do it best. So you can't give that up. So as far as like the classic jersey, it's not necessarily a great jersey, but I think my opinion of it is any jersey Ken Griffey Jr. wears is by definition the freshest jersey ever, because he's probably the coolest baseball player to ever live. So in like the classic like white and like the navy and teal Mariners jersey, or like the cream and royal blue with yellow, that is just like, it looks so good. And especially when he did it like in the home run derby with the backwards hat. Great. Fresh jersey. The one for like currently in 2020, honorable mention to a couple years ago, to the sleeveless Reds jerseys. Those were fun. You got to show off the guns. But the Brewers cream jerseys are real good. The cream home with the navy and the yellow. But what does it for me is them embracing the old the glove and ball logo, the MB logo, because that is like one of the most clever logos you'd ever see for an MLB team. So them embracing that throwback is so good for me. And if you throw stirrups in the mix with the uniform, it's A+.
Stirrups.
Yep, that's a good one. That was unexpected, actually, Andrew. I thought it would go a different direction. But Brewers is a really good choice, and we don't talk about them often. Reese, you're up.
Okay, so for the 2020 jerseys, the Twins, they're like baby blue and red jerseys. I love those. I think they're so pretty. I'm a big fan.
What? Yeah, the powder blue.
Fine, fine.
That was definitely on my list too, Reese.
They're so pretty. Oh my God, I love them. And then, okay, so for like classic jerseys, coming into the most original take of 2020, I'm gonna have to go with my Padres, and I'm sorry, I know, but Heather, hear me out. They're like 70s, like early 80s, like the retro guys. Come on, those are so cool. They look so good.
That was mine. I mean, they finally brought the brown, unique brown that they had, and got out that boring navy color, and it just.
I know. Yeah, that's like not setting them apart from anybody, right? With the navy, they brought the brown back, but I really want them to bring back like the retro font, because like I thought that was so sick. And I mean, I don't know if they'll continue to like let their jerseys evolve, but I mean, like, I'm happy with it now, but like the old retro jerseys that the Padres had were so dope.
The Padres look good.
They do.
You can't call them a classic jersey, Reese. They haven't been around long enough.
Well, no,
original, like old school Padres, like the white jerseys with like the orange, you know what I'm talking about?
They're like all lowercase letters.
Kind of spread out.
I just knew Heather's day with that one. But
Reese with the most boring take of all time. So it's my turn. my favorite classic jersey, I guess I'm going to give a boring take too, but how can you not? The Dodgers look fly all the time. Okay, first of all, you call them the boys in blue. No other team, except maybe the pinstripe thing, whatever, with the Yankees, no other team like is classified by the color of their jersey. And that is just iconic, especially when the two teams play each other. That's sick. But, you know, blue has always been, it was a powder blue in Brooklyn days. It's now what is that blue? Like a robin's egg?
It's Pantone 294, apparently.
Oh, that's the name of their, like...
That's what the fan group based it. Yeah, that's what they based it on.
It's awesome.
Okay. Well, I didn't know that. Now I know. We learn something new on the podcast every day. I love their jersey. I don't even know what else to say about it. It's always been with that classic Dodgers cursive. You know, that the Kansas City Royals think they can do better, but alas, no. And I just love seeing it. I don't like their gray alternate jersey, so I will be a little critical, but that they wear on the road. I would much prefer if they wore their spring training jerseys for the road games with the blue, with the Pantone 294, I guess. So that's my classic jersey, because how could I not? And I'm frankly shocked that Andrew didn't even mention them.
I mean, they're steadfast. Of course you're going to mention them. It's like the Yankees. Like, they're not going to go away. They always look good. So it goes without saying. Right.
Okay.
My point to the gray aways, they are the better jersey to own because they get dirty. And if they get dirty, yes. It's hard to see.
Yes, good point. But I think the blue would have that same effect. But anyway, the white and blue is always fly. It always looks great. There are some really attractive players on the team as well that make the jersey look even better. Won't get into that right now because we already got into that in a prior episode. My favorite retro, throwback, alternate jersey, whatever you want to say. Honorable mention for me goes to the Phillies. Their powder blue obviously is big within that franchise in the past, and they wear it every now and again. It's cool. And the different shape of the P in Phillies is cool. But they also have, I really like the pure red one with the white inseam. Inseam, because that's, I guess, outer seam.
The piping.
What?
The piping.
Piping. Thank you. Very good. So the pure red one is cool with the white. They look like candy canes. Their current jerseys, they're obviously a classic jersey as well. But my pick is the Cincinnati Reds. Last year was the 150th anniversary. They're one of the oldest teams besides, I think, the Braves. I think those two teams are the oldest, and maybe the Red Sox. I could be wrong. And I just love everything about their retro look. They have a navy blue red with the buttons. They have like a cream one with the hat that's red, and it just looks really cool. And the writing is really cool. They're obviously, again, one of the oldest teams. So they've had look after look. And last year they wore all of them in honor of their 150th anniversary. And that was really cool to see. And they have a really cool uniform, and we don't talk about the Reds a lot. So yeah, shout out to them. What about you, Charles?
Well, I'm going to go with a little throwback white uni, and I think Tori's going to appreciate this one. I'm going to go with the 1983 Giants white throwback. Those are icy. I love the type on those as well. It's a bold Giants black with a little orange outline around them. Looks so good. Players look good in them. And I'm sure, like, once they slide into second, those jerseys are getting filthy, and it looked awesome. And I'm going to give some honorable mention to the California Angels back in 1971. Those jerseys, money. Gotta go some love to my Angels. If you're an Angels fan, I'm sure you're loving it right now because you love those jerseys, and so do I. They were not anything that any other team really had. It was just California, and it looked so good on their on the hat, and they had Angels plastered across, and it looked really good. Loved the color scheme. Looked really nice. And a lot of my 2020 jerseys were already picked. I was going to go with the A's, then I was going to go with the Padres. So obviously we got some great taste, guys. I like that. But, you know, I don't really have anything different from what you guys said, except I might add the Royals. The Royals have kind of the same icy giant white that they have. And then the cursive looks good. I like it. Heather disagrees, but I think the Royals fans don't get any love for that jersey. It looks good. I love the color scheme. It looks kind of like a Dodgers offset. So I think it looks
good. Yeah, because that's what it is. And they knocked us off. Whatever. Well, that's everybody. Shout out to the Cardinals, too. And
I did want to say one more thing, guys. In a little bit of a moment, I wanted to say that, you know, we are thinking about Chadwick Boseman. He passed away yesterday Robinson Day. He played 42, and our thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family.
Yes, certainly on Jackie Robinson Day, that was all kinds of tragic. So, yes.
And now we'll take a short break, and we'll wrap up. We'll be right back.
That's it for us from All Talk No Bock. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hoped you liked our episode. It was a little bit serious, but then we threw in some jerseys and it got fun there at the end. Little bit of a debate on which jerseys were picked, but that's what makes it fun. You know, we don't have the same opinions, and that's great. Thank you to Tori and Andrew for coming back. Reese, the bullpen correspondent, amazing as always. And Heather, thank you so much. You're a great co-host. Thank you so much to everyone for coming on. And Andrew has some big news for some merchandise that the bullpen's now got. What do we got, Andrew?
Yeah, if you go follow us on Instagram or Twitter, we have links in our bio. And under the list of links in there, there's one that says bullpen merch. We're going through Redbubble, and we have one design so far, but there are more to come if you want to buy t-shirts with the bullpen logo, stickers, anything like that. And also, if you want to send in messages to the podcast for All Talk No Bock to feature them, if you have questions, comments, opinions, anything you want to talk to us about, send us in. It's in the link as well under some, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Yeah, that'll be in our Twitter and our Instagram and on our website. So you can check it out. Please buy our merch. It's going to look so awesome. It's sort of a work in progress. Like Andrew said, we have one design, but more on the way. And you could buy our faces. So why wouldn't you want to do it? Yes. And as always, you could follow us on all the platforms that we've mentioned. Head to our website. The articles, we're now doing Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So now 3 articles a week. And they've been so great lately. Everybody on our team, we recently expanded and everybody's been doing such a great job. So my article comes out Monday. So by the time you hear this, it'll be tomorrow. So so read that, take a look, and follow us everywhere. Our topic for Your Take, Our Take next week is sort of off the beaten path a little bit, but we are beyond excited to debate the origins of a Dodger dog, and is a hot dog a sandwich, a taco? Is it just a hot dog? Does it have its own category? Is it tasty? Is a Dodger dog even good? You know, all these questions will be answered. And that's what we're going to debate next week. And we look forward to seeing everybody next week. We will have, I know that we said this week we would have Callan. That's next week. We had a scheduling mishap. So we will have Callan, our special guest, next week. And we'll talk about all the fun trade deadline things and everything else going on in MLB. So thank you guys for tuning in. And we look forward to hearing your voicemails. Buy our merch. And we'll see you guys next week. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.